Blog Talk Radio.
Let the healing ring in. Intended to take the place of orthodox medicine, but to work in conjunction with it. Therefore, if you need to seek medical advice, we advise that you do so. By participating in the Blog Talk Gold Ring Healing Fountain radio show, you are implying that you give permission to receive healing from Source, the universe, all that is, God, or whatever name you call the Supreme Being, by whichever vibration it comes on. For example, Eastern energies facilitate Reiki, etc. Or Western therapies may utilize the Christ angelic energies. This program is non-denominational, so the healing modality will vary depending on the guest speaker. All healing comes from the same source. It may just come on a different vibration, rather like tuning in to a different radio station. We ask that you join us with an open heart and mind, with a clear head, i.e. not under the influence of drink or recreational drugs.
Everyone who lives on this earth has a mission to do.
All our healers are working from a place of love and light, with the highest good of mankind and Mother Earth uppermost in heart, thought, and deed. Please relax and enjoy this co-creation. This is your time. We are in the time of now.
Angels are standing in line. They help me and you. So trust what you feel in your heart.
Show. This is Jan Christie speaking from the UK, hosting the show with Gary Moore from the USA. Are you there, Gary?
Yes, I am here. Hello, everyone. Hello, Jen. How are you?
All right, thanks. And would you like to tell our new listeners whereabouts in the USA you're from, Gary?
I am in Boston.
Oh,
in
wow.
Boston, Massachusetts.
Yes, now you've been moving
Boston,
about
Gary.
A bit, haven't you?
I have been. I've been here for a while now, since September. But
have you?
And here thus. And also from Holland, we have Marika. She is here with us. Are you there?
Yes. Hello, everybody. It's very good to see you again.
Hi, Marika.
How are you, Tom and Gary? Hi.
And we have a fabulous guest tonight, special guest, the very talented Nancy Waite, artist, writer, and host of Art and Ascension, and she will share with us about the Wounded Healer. And she's even written a little play for us on the topic, which she'll perform with Gary Moore later. And she's got loads and loads of things to share. And I really can't wait to hear all about it.
I'm looking forward to this as well, because Nancy and I don't think we've been on the air except for doing a radio play about a year ago. It's been a while since her and I were both on the air together. Like Tia. Tia, Nancy, and I used to host the Heart Channel, which I believe the Healing Fountain Channel became. It was formerly the Heart Channel, if my memory serves correctly. But
ooh,
we used to do that on Sunday. And so I'm excited to have Nancy back with us.
Yeah, and part two of Nancy's show will be at the same time tomorrow evening on the Ricey Channel. But we'll give you the link to that later. But in the meantime, we're going to play a song called Between Heaven and Hell, or Between Hell and Heaven. It's quite appropriate. We're all wounded and we're all healers, as Nancy says. That was Laurie Holland, who just happens to be my daughter, and she was singing a song written by a very good friend of ours called Dave Jones. And the song was actually featured in a film that was sent to the Cannes Film Festival. So we'll have to find out how that went on. But anyway, we're going to post the link into the chat room for the people who are going to be watching our great video shortly. So have you got the link there, please, Gary? We're not going to play it
I
yet.
Do. Bear with me one moment. Let me get the link for everyone. Look at this. Marika is all over. She's got the link, and she's already done that. She's posted it.
Oh, thank you, Marika. That's brilliant.
Marika, you are all over it like usual.
Yes, like a rat. A lovely rat. Okay.
So everyone, click the link and pull up the player and pause the player, mute the sound, and when you've done that, send up a heart in the chat room, and the heart will be your ticket that you're ready to go.
But so we're not going to be playing it just yet because we're going to have our fabulous guest Nancy coming on. So if we just bring Nancy on, are you there, Nancy?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello.
There you are.
Hi. It's wonderful to see you.
It's great to have you.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me.
So you've got wonderful things to share, haven't you? The Wounded Healer.
I do.
Very powerful.
The Wounded Healer.
Yes, I'm very excited.
Well, I am too to do the little play, but I just want to start off with a sort of a little introduction from a book I found, a terrific book called Creative Healing. It's written by a nurse and a doctor. It's called How to Heal Yourself by Tapping Your Hidden Creativity. And I just want to read a little bit from Chapter 2, How Art and Healing Are One. The basic message of creative healing is very simple. Art heals you. Art heals others. And art heals the earth. Each of us has deep within us an inner artist and an inner healer. The inner artist is part of us that is passionately creative, that feels love, that feels connected to everything around us, that can see, that knows who we are, that is at home, and that is at peace. The inner artist can go anywhere in the inner world, close to it. It can even go to the inner healer and merge with it and bring it out. The inner healer is the part of you that balances your body perfectly and sets your blood flow, your immune system, and your killer T cells to be in harmony. Art frees the healer within you so you can heal yourself of an illness. Frees your spirit so your mind and body are in harmony. Art frees your immune system to work at its optimum to heal. Art helps you conquer disease by freeing your inner healer to work at its optimum. Let's say there is an aspect of you that you cannot see. And even more puzzling, it is the wisest and deepest aspect of who you are. Let's say that you are an ordinary woman or an ordinary man. You go through your daily routine, pick up your kids, run a business, do all the things you do, and still you somehow feel confused, disconnected from something deeper within you. You have a feeling that there is something missing, almost a life unlived. And then, one day, you get a diagnosis that you are ill, or find yourself in a crisis. It could be any illness, or a life event that results in a deep depression. You go to all kinds of healthcare providers, physicians, psychologists, and others to seek healing. You take herbs, do exercise, get body work done, and utilize many different types of therapies. They all help to differing degrees, but none of them feels like the essence of healing. Your body experiences itself as ill, and you feel disconnected from it, hid by it. You know that deeper within your body is the source of your life, and now that you are ill, you feel the need to make contact with this source. Somehow you know that if you can make the connection to that part of yourself, it will help you heal. Now let's say you can make art, any art. This process will help you find the part of yourself that will heal, the part of yourself you have been looking for. Let's say it is that simple. Let's say that all you have to do is find the part of yourself that can say, I am an artist. All you have to do is allow yourself to be more creative, to move, sing, write, dance, and do so spontaneously without censorship. Let's say that if you allow your creativity to be seen, it will liberate you so that you can get in touch with the healer within. For example, when you paint with abandon, it is yourself that knows the truth. You are manifesting your own creativity. This creativity is this passion is your life. Slowly, something within you starts to stir, and you realize that you are the source. You realize that you are what you need to heal. That's it.
Wow. That's really powerful. And there's things in there that you wouldn't think of, isn't there? Oh, wow. Mm. Anyway, I can't wait to hear this play. But before we do the play, we're going to do a video called The Wounded Healer. So if you all put your hearts up when you're ready to press play, I'll get over onto the switchboard and press it after Gary's. Oh, you put the link in a bit earlier, didn't you, Gary?
So Marika is all over it again.
All
she
right.
put it in there again.
Okay. Thank you, Marika. Okay, then, so I'll do the countdown when you put your hearts up. When we're ready to go over to YouTube, it's the YouTube Wounded Healer. Okay, so I'll start the countdown. So 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, press play. Was the Wounded Healer video but we've never had a play recited on the Healing Fountain show before. So it's going to be like Shakespearean night tonight, because Nancy's a very talented writer, and I know she's going to be absolutely great at doing the play, as is Gary. So we're going to bring Gary and Nancy back on to do the play called Mr. Wounded and Ms. Healer, spelled H-E-E-L-E-R, at the Starbucks Cafe. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, I'm here. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Are you ready, Gary?
Yes, a moment.
Okay, shall I start, Gary?
Hold on just a moment. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. All right, here we go. Mr. Wounded and Ms. Healer at the Starbucks Cafe. Subtitle, Wait, There's More, by Nancy Waite. With Nancy Waite for the Gold Ring Healing Fountain on Blog Talk Radio. Scene, a Starbucks Cafe, USA. Mr. Wounded and Ms. Healer have just sat down at a table and are now drinking their coffee. Okay, so are you now or have you ever been wounded?
Duh.
Well, just a second. I'm sorry. Hold on. Okay, wait. Okay. Sorry. Gary, can we start?
Of course.
Okay. Okay, so are you now or have you ever been wounded?
Duh.
Well, if you're not going to be serious about it.
Come on, lady. Who's not being serious? To be born is to be wounded. Cutting the umbilical cord, separation from the mother and all that. And geez, God forbid they want to circumcise you. And what about separation from God or heaven or the divine or whatever you want to call it? That awful moment when you realize you're alone, parted forever until death. I mean, practically as soon as you draw breath on this earth, it hurts. And then they whack your poor little bottom to boot.
Boot? Don't you mean breathe? They whack you to breathe? And is it really necessary to go that far back in time, Mr. Wound?
It's not wound, it's wounded. And you bet it's necessary, because there's childhood. And then you fall and you scrape your knees, or you fall out of the tree and break your arm, and the girl you like won't even look at you, and your mother thinks that you broke the vase on purpose and doesn't understand when you try to explain, and your father, he...
Yes, I know. I know. Childhood isn't easy.
And it gets worse when you're a teenager, especially when you're all different from everybody else.
Which you were, of course.
And then you know what happens?
What? What happens then?
You finally grow up and you get out there on your own and you find a woman you can love and you think the two of you are happy and you're giving her all you've got. And what does she do? She goes off with your best friend. That's what she does.
Yes, I know.
You do? She told you? You talked to her too?
Well, no, but it's not an unusual story, is it? Betrayal happens to all of us at some time or other, doesn't it?
Doesn't make it any easier.
Oh, of course not. But are you sure you're ready for another relationship? How long ago did this happen?
Who said anything about a relationship? I'm here for counseling.
Oh, I thought you wanted coffee.
Well, I don't mind having coffee along with it, but you're a healer, right? Ms. Healer, that's your name, right? I mean, that's what I'm here for, to be healed.
Oh, I'm afraid there's been a misunderstanding. I don't necessarily heal people. My name just happens to be Healer, like Wheeler, only without the double.
Healer, Wheeler, double dealer, well, what do you know? Her name is Healer, but she doesn't know if she heals. Why did you give me the third degree as soon as we sat down then? And you know, have you now or have you ever been wounded? What was that all about?
Oh, Harvey, I couldn't resist. You know, like the McCarthy hearings in the 50s. Are you now or have you ever been a communist?
Look, Ms. Healer, I don't mind you having a bit of fun, but I'm hurting over here.
Sorry. Oh, look, let me try and make it up to you. She takes out her notebook computer. Can you move your drink a little more over there, please? Thank you.
What are you going to do?
Just look, that's all. H-E-A-L-E-R, healer. I'm looking up a real healer for you. Isn't that what you wanted, Mr. W-O-U-N-D-E-D? Oh, look, wounded and healer come up a lot together. This one looks interesting. It's a true story about a guy in England, the Wounded Healer by David Hamilton for the British Association for Counseling and Psychotherapy. Oh, look at that. They spell counseling with two L's.
And I spell wounded with an ID at the end. Get the idea? Here, let me see that. He turns the laptop screen towards him and begins reading. I've been reading about the Wounded Healer theory, and it says that the pain of the healer is the source of the power to heal others. That the healer's own experiences form the foundations of their empathy with clients and their wounds. The theory goes on to say that there is a danger of the healer being sacrificed by his or her own wounds, being exacerbated by the demands of those being helped. I like the idea of the therapist's pain being used to help others. After all, who better to understand difficulties than a person who understands them from his or her own frame of reference?
Exactly. I couldn't agree more.
Shh, I want to read this. And I have been really sick for two or three times in my life. The first time I was really very young, and I don't remember much. The next time I was a young adult of about 24. I collapsed at a friend's house, and they phoned for an ambulance, which took me to a hospital where I was diagnosed with meningitis. 3 hours to live and one lumbar puncture later, they found the bacterial strain and treated it, thus bringing me out of the danger zone. I had to spend about 9 days in the intensive care unit on a morphine drip to get back to normal. And I remember lying there listening to my music and friends. My friends had brought in to me motionless, barely able to move any of my muscles, but being fully awake, like being trapped in a body that wouldn't work, but my eyes could move. And for the first few days, that was how I communicated with the doctors and nurses. It was a wonderful time for reflection and contemplation. And when I was discharged from the hospital, I remember walking down the road outside thinking how lovely the trees and grass were. And I also remember thinking this would be a great opportunity to stop smoking. But I reasoned that I had been through enough trauma, and I should use the cigarettes to help calm me down. Oh, foolish me.
This guy has a sense of humor. I like him.
Wait, there's more. A few years ago, I was working hard, earning well, and living good, and my partner and I moved house. Making good money on the sale from the old house, like everyone did then. Shortly after we moved house, I started to feel pains down both legs. It got worse, and I went to the doctor, and he didn't know what to do. So after repeated visits, I complained to him. I was referred to the hospital. I drove the car to the hospital and parked in the short stay car park, expecting to be 20 minutes. Here, Mr. Hamilton, take some of these tablets and call me in the morning. But that didn't happen. An hour or two later, I was having a bronchoscopy, which is the insertion of a fiber optic camera into the lung to see what was causing the dark shadows on the x-ray. My lungs collapsed quite a few times after that over the period of 2 weeks, but thankfully, being in the hospital meant I was in the right place for that to happen. Again, I had been given a time for reflection and contemplation, and this time I knew I wanted things to be different. I had given up smoking just under a year prior to this current condition had occurred, the current condition being called sarcoidosis.
Oh, how awful. That poor man. What a terrible thing to have happen.
Wait, there's more. This time I wanted to give something back. I wasn't sure how this would work, but I knew I could find a channel for this new healing energy. I started off with Reiki when I was well enough, attending my first and then second attunement, rendering a fully qualified Reiki practitioner, lacking only the last attunement, for teaching purposes only, I'm told.
Oh, that's good. Reiki. Reiki's supposed to be very good, isn't it? See that? He wants to give back. Good for him.
Wait, there's more. He says that there is that wasn't it after all. This wasn't it. I thought about my skills, and since my father had been deaf since I was a little boy, I grew up using sign language for the deaf like a second language. So I applied for certification in the British Sign Language, and there was not enough people interested in the course for it to go ahead, so I waited until the next possibility of it starting, and as before, still not enough people. While this was going on, I took other courses in different places and started to get interested in counseling. And there was a starter course at a local college, and it wasn't expensive. And I liked the thought of that, helping people to cope with the daily drudges and issues that life throws at them. Yes, I liked it, so I enrolled.
Jeez, too bad I couldn't have met this guy instead of you. I really like him. He's out there doing things, isn't he?
Wait, there's more. Shortly after starting the course, I realized there was a lot more to counseling than I had first envisioned. I am glad that the path is not an easy one. After all, the clients are real people with real issues. They need to be given every chance to work through their difficulties, and they need everyone who is professionally trained, yada, yada, yada.
Hey, why are you stopping? Here, let me see that. She turns the screen away from him towards herself. Oh, this part's good. I remember going swimming with a couple of friends, and this one friend asked me how the counseling course was going, and I said, great. He said, I couldn't be bothered giving all that advice out all day. I said that wasn't the idea. I said that we wanted to try and give the clients suggestions as to where they might look for the answers to their problems, but we could not tell them what to find. He disagreed, telling me that he knew exactly what counseling was all about. The deeper I get into understanding the role of the counselor, the more interested I become. I love the works of Carl Rogers and remember seeing him in action for the first time and thinking, he's not doing that much. But here I am, a bit further down the line. When I revisit that piece of footage, I see, wow, how many person-centered skills is he exhibiting without making it obvious, and how his attitude speaks volumes more than his actual dialogue.
I have always said that people talk too darn much. Attitude, intention, that's what it is. What else does he say? Does he say anything else? I like this dude.
Hang on a sec. This article here looks interesting.
What about the one we had? I like the one we had.
Just a minute. Listen to this. John A. Sanford, author of Healing and Wholeness, discusses the rebirth of healers from their own personal states of darkness. He describes dire illnesses of shamans in which they'd often be on the brink of death, and they'd be in touch with an inner voice telling them that a new life was on the horizon. They'd understand the mysteries of their particular predicament, and then they'd awaken to a new life. Look at this. He describes a woman named Dorcas who lived in an African tribe. She became extremely ill. She said of herself, I was so sick I lay in bed for 3 years.
3 years? You've got to be kidding me.
No, it's true. Listen. I could not eat or drink or even walk. I just lay there day after day, and at night dreams would come. My spirit would see so many things in the night. And then in the morning, before the sun would come up, my spirit would return to my body, and I would lay in bed another day. Dorcas went to many doctors of all kinds. Finally, one doctor said to her, you must go to your own doctors. They can help you, and we cannot. A dream, her grandfather came to her and said, you are not sick. You are going to help your people. I like you very much, and my spirit will enter your body, and you will do my work. Dorcas kept hearing these voices and seeing visions. One night, they told her to get up and sing. They said, wake up. You must wake up and teach. Soon, she did just that, and she let those voices work through her as the voices of spiritual healing. Sanford says that there is something of the shaman in every person, and there is something shamanistic in every illness. If we allow ourselves to become conscious of the meaning of our illnesses, including our predicaments and life challenges, we can awaken from them and go to the other side of them into states of healing and wholeness. Wow!
I don't know anything about hearing voices. That other guy, the one who knew the sign language, he was more down to earth. Go back to him.
David Hamilton? Okay. Here. Oh, there's only one more paragraph. You read it.
I know that by the retraining and making the best of my medical condition, I can emerge from it qualified to help people maintain and develop their lives in more rewarding and fulfilling ways than before. I am often amazed by the motivations that drive me and how I sometimes follow them blindly without question. But one thing always rings true, and that is this burning desire to help others with their physiological and practical issues. Psychological and practical issues, that's what fires me up and keeps me going. It's what makes me one of life's wounded healers. You see, this guy's a real down-to-earth guy, and he keeps it simple. This guy I could have a beer with.
Yeah, but he's over in England. What about hypnotherapy? Have you ever thought about being hypnotized?
Where do you see that?
Oh, it's right here, www.hypnotherapycenter.com. Oh, here's a great quote from Manly Palmer Hall in his book, Healing the Divine Art. Plato taught by his example that man possesses within himself the power to cure the diseases of his body, that in the end, every man is his own priest and every man is his own physician. Wisdom is the medicine and is the only remedy for ignorance, the great sickness of mankind. This is the doctrine of the mystics, the doctrine which they learned in the old temples, the doctrine which someday must be the foundation of all enlightened therapy.
Hey, let me see that. What important way of understanding illness, darkness, and suffering is to see that these states as processes by which an individual becomes a healer. Called the wounded healer paradigm, it is for many a process of initiation and connection to a more expanded way of life. Of course, not everyone who enters difficult times becomes awakened by them, but for some who do, and it is a process of metamorphosis, yada, yada, yada. I thought you said this was about hypnosis.
Well, it says the Hypnotherapy Center, doesn't it? She's good, though, isn't she, this Marilyn Gordon? Oh, listen to this. We understand that whatever is taking place is a necessary experience on our path. We understand that the greatest difficulty may be the very moment of darkness that is the springboard illumination. This kind of understanding goes beyond the idea of controlling habits or getting rid of symptoms. This way of seeing knows that healing is a process in which consciousness is being awakened, and if truly the difficulties in our lives are initiations for a higher calling, then it becomes easier to forgive whatever seemed to bring the difficulty upon us. It's really about even more than forgiveness. It's about reframing the entire experience of our challenges by seeing the perfection in them, seeing that they are necessary steps toward transformation and wholeness. What you eventually come to understand is that you've been given the opportunity to dissolve an old part of your personality, an old way of being. And through your connection with higher consciousness, you emerge as someone new. You learn about the healing process, and you gain faith in the perfect way that it's working. You gain empathy for others who are ill. You gain the ability to go on an inner journey with them to help them to emerge. And you gain a special inner quality that is the mark of a transformed life.
I'm just going to close that computer.
Hey, there. What'd you do that for?
Look, lady.
Healer, Ms. Healer, and there's no need to be angry.
You can take your transformed life and stuff it you know where. I came here for some counseling, and if you're not a counselor, what is it you do then?
I'm an artist.
Oh, and that's going to help.
Actually, it really does help. You'd be surprised. I paint portraits, you see. I can take the measure of a man's soul when I'm measuring the distance between his two eyes.
How very poetic.
I painted this man once. His name was Jimmy, and he was all with everybody, always smiling. But when he sat for me, something completely different came out. He looked like himself. I'm very good at catching a likeness. But it was a completely different side of him. He couldn't believe that I caught it. He said, "You saw that?"
He thought he was hiding how he truly felt. He sounds familiar.
Funny, isn't it, how we think people don't see us? Some don't, of course. I like to think that with my portraits, I'm telling people that I really see them. It's like I'm acknowledging them, you know, saying, "I see the real you."
Do you think that's healing for them?
Well, maybe it is a little. I always think it helps to be seen.
You have to really stare at them for a long time, don't you?
Well, sure, if you're going to draw or paint someone, but acknowledging someone, you can do that in an instant. Like the time my mother was over, and she was going on and on about my father as if he were alive. He had been dead already for 10 years, but she couldn't accept it. In the beginning, I used to try and get her to see the truth, but it didn't do any good. And luckily, she didn't mention him very often. But this particular day, she was talking about him again. And I almost wanted to say, Mom, he died. But I controlled myself. I thought, what does it matter, really? She wants to believe he's still alive, so let her. So I just stood there and listened and nodded and said, yes, I know, huh? And it seemed to calm her. She never brought him up again. I had acknowledged her feelings. It was like I had accepted who she was. I'll never forget it.
So that was sort of like a healing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Just letting a person be who they are. This is sort of changing the subject, but Isadora Duncan, she used to be my hero. She said that in order to be a great artist, you had to suffer.
Why?
Well, I think it's because when we're in pain, the shields we put up, the masks we wear, the false self we present, they come down. And you're more real then. You can start getting into the heart of things then, you know, because it hurts too much not to.
So, have you suffered much?
I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, come on. I've told you about me.
Okay, yes. At one time, I thought I was just one big bruise.
Ha!
But I like to think about it this other way, the way my fencing teacher once put it to me. When you're fencing someone, you try everything you know not to get hit. You're wearing the mask and the chest padding, of course, so it doesn't really hurt. But it's humiliating to be hit. Nobody likes it. So this teacher says, he was a Buddhist, by the way, he says, your opponent is just giving you a gift. He's showing you where you're vulnerable. Changed my whole way of thinking about fencing. Life, too, come to think of it. He was a very wounded man, that fencing teacher. I painted his portrait, too. He was this real skinny guy, and I made him look like a warrior king. That was his energy, the warrior king, a samurai.
He must have liked that.
No, not really. See, that's the strange part. You can talk to someone, give them lots of TLC and so on, paint them as you see them, but if they're not able to see themselves, how can they see your vision of them?
Right, that makes sense. So you're saying that you can see into people, have a vision of them?
Well, yes, but that's because I pick up their energy. We all do. Everyone does. There aren't really any secrets, you know.
You mean like auras, like seeing auras?
Well, yes, in a way. Just seeing a person's aura is like seeing a light show. It's better if you can feel the energy. Someone once told me I had holes in my aura.
A holy aura.
I know, but it really isn't funny. It meant that I picked up everything. I was defenseless, but sensitive. I think that must have been why I could paint how a person felt, aside from how they looked. That's why I love Van Gogh, why everybody does. He painted how things felt.
I know what you mean. Remember that painting of the chair? And what about those boots in the grassy fields and the sunflowers? I love those sunflowers.
He was terribly wounded, you know, as a child. He had an older brother who died as an infant, I think, and his mother never got over it. She wasn't able to love Vincent, and I don't think his father was very accepting either. And then the woman he loved rejected him. This was before he met the woman he cut his ear off for.
He sure could paint. Do you think he had holes in his aura, too?
Possibly.
Well, Ms. Healer, if you don't have anything better to do this afternoon, would you like to take a walk over to the museum and have a look at Van Gogh's sunflowers? It's been ages since I've seen that picture.
And Starry Night. I want to see Starry Night, too.
Don't you just love those swirls?
The trees are so alive.
Yeah.
Cue the music.
Starry, starry night, paint your palette blue and gray. Look out on a summer's day with eyes that know the darkness in my soul. Shadows on the hills, sketch the trees and daffodils, catch the breeze and the winter chills in colors on the snowy linen land.
what you tried to say to me, and how you suffered for your sanity, and how you tried to set them free. They would not listen, they did not know how. Perhaps they'll listen now. Starry, starry night, flaming flowers that brightly play, swirling clouds in violet haze, reflecting Vincent's eyes of China blue, colors changing hue. Morning fields of amber gray, weathered faces lined in pain, are soothed beneath the artist's loving hand. Now I understand what you tried to say to me, and how you suffered for your sanity, and how you tried to set them free. They would not listen, they did not know how. Perhaps they'll listen now, for they could not love you, but still your love was true. And when no hope was left inside, on that starry, starry night, you took your life as lovers often do. But I could have told you, Vincent, this world was never meant for one as beautiful as you.
Now it's time for our candle ceremony. We light our candles to signify that we're a healing circle of love and light, and also because fire is a very powerful tool, which along with prayer and focused intent, helps us to manifest our goals, which are in the now moment, to pray for peace in the Middle East, and for the people of New Zealand, and to send love, light, and healing all around the world. I've also lit my incense because we would like to purify the atmosphere, ready to invite the angelic realm. We'd like to ask for the Archangel Michael please be with us now to bring your love and protection in the name of divine truth. Love and light, love and light, love and light. Archangel Uriel, please be with us now to bring your love and upliftment in the name of divine truth. Love and light, love and light, love and light. Thank you. Archangel Gabriel, please be with us now to bring your love and wisdom in the name of divine truth. Love and light, love and light, love and light. Thank you. Archangel Raphael, please be with us now to bring your love and healing in the name of divine truth. Love and light, love and light, love and light. Thank you. Archangel Metatron, we ask for your assistance now to take our love, light, and healing out to all mankind, all around the world, in divine love and light, love and light, love and light. Thank you. The energies of Sananda Jesus and Magdalena, please be with us now. Thank you. We are in the divine presence of the angelic realm, and we ask that they close around our circle of love, light, and healing, along with our guides and inspirers and guardian angels to assist us in sending out the healing. We now have 24 therapists in the chat room, and we're going to ask Marika to do the mantra. Thank you, Marika.
Thank you, Chia. Dearest Way Showers, I would like to ask you to take a deep breath and focus on your connection with our Mother Earth. Become aware of the fact that you're in touch with her, your feet lightly touching her, and become aware of the fact that many feet are touching her right now in all countries all over the world. Close your eyes and visualize this with me. We are all standing on her, holding each other's hands. We surround her like a giant wheel with spokes of light coming from our hearts together into the center space that lies deep within our grandmother Earth. As we see her crystal heart, and as we take this deep breath again, we feel the beating of our heart through our bodies, and we all start to slightly move on the melody of her heartbeat as one heart. We feel this energy reaching our heart centers, and our hearts feels so warm. They're overflowing with love, and the energy you can imagine as the purest light flows to the center of the earth. And we become aware of our connection again. And we know we are all related. Mitakoye Oyasin. When the energy reaches our eyes, we feel our heads lifting a tiny bit up, and we see our Father Sky. And when we see beyond Father Sky, we see a giant book floating in space. On the cover of the book is written, Book of Healing Requests, and the book opens. We can write down all names we would like in that book, but the first name you may write down in grace is your own name. Please go ahead and write it in there. Right now, you are a receiver of healing energy, and you may direct this energy to any human being, animal or plant you want by writing down the names in the book. You may write them down underneath the healing fountain list that is already in there. I'll give you a little bit of time to write the names down. Please go ahead now. And when all names are written in the book, we see that the book closes and drops slightly down into the center of Mother Earth. Thank you, Mother Earth, for all the love that you give. Feel the gratitude and sit down very comfortable and be surrounded by this energy. And listen to a beautiful meditation from our special guest. Thank you very much.
And this week the guest is Nancy Waite.
Hello. I would like to read you something, a guided meditation from the books I was reading from earlier called Creative Healing. They say, all through this book, we take the story of the old woman of the springs and expand it and use it to help you understand how art heals. Whenever we tell this story, you can rest. You don't have to think, analyze, understand, or learn anything. Each time the story is told, let it take hold of you as if it were a lullaby. Relax, have fun, be entertained, let yourself heal. I will tell you a story. It is a story that is older than any other. This story is deep in our memories. This story is deep in your soul. It is the story of the creation of art and healing. It always begins with the story of the old woman of the springs. She has always been seen as the weaver of our dreams, as the mother of creativity and art, as the one who could heal. Close your eyes, relax, let your breathing slow down. We will start from the ordinary, from your kitchen table, from a drive in your car, or a hospital room, from wherever you are. And we will take you deeper. We will go into our imagination on a journey. Let us go into a mystical fog. It is a secret place. It is the place that only you can see. It is a place in your imagination. You can find it in any moment. You will find it by becoming ill, by being in a life crisis, by seeing death, by falling in love, by becoming an artist. First, imagine that you are on a path. It is a narrow path. The ground is dirt, hard enough so that it is comfortable to walk on. It is the path of the creative healer. As your feet, you can imagine that you start to walk. Feel the hard ground. Hear your footsteps fall. Feel the grass on the sides of the path. Touch your legs. Smell the air. Feel the warm, soft breeze on your face. As you walk, you begin to feel different. The air itself changes. It opens and fills with light. It expands, and as it expands, you expand too. Your eyes open wider. Your ears can hear more clearly. Your body moves by itself, and your breath is not only yours anymore. As you go down the path, your way darkens and narrows slightly. The leaves touch your skin, and the soft earth caresses your feet. The warm, moist air glistens on the leaves like dewdrops, and the energy within you flows outward. As you look ahead, you can see an emerald pool down a short hill. It is round and beautiful, and it shines in the afternoon sun. It is at the bottom of a glade of small trees. The pool is deep blue and perfectly round, and in its center is a spring that flows upward from the earth as pure, clear water. You can see the bubbles coming up to the surface in whirlpools. You can almost hear the bubbling as it goes on forever. Now look up next to the spring. Above the spring, she sits, in perfect and eternal peace. She is the most beautiful creature you have ever seen. She is a woman of pure spirit. As you look at her, you can see that she changes as you see her. One moment, she is the Virgin Mary looking down on you with perfect love. One moment, she is your lover, looking at you with eternal desire. And in the next moment, she is an old woman with a loom who weaves the silver and gold threads that make the springs and the earth itself. And then, in another moment, she is a turtle who has sat forever on the side of the spring, watching all of it being born. As she sits and changes like the light, you can see that she has been there forever and has created the world. She weaves the fibers of her most beautiful dream. She weaves art and healing as one. She weaves each of us into the vision as artists, as healers. She weaves the very spirals that we travel on and the energy that makes us fall in love. She is weaving this story. I am telling it to you. She is weaving this book as her song on earth. She is singing to us. Now look more closely. She sits on the edge of the spring, and as she looks down inside the spring, she can see the eternal wellspring of creativity, and she can see your life. She has meditated here for millions of years, and she can see the water spring up from the very center of her own heart. She sees how beautiful she is, was, and will be. She sees how it always flows, and how it will flow for a million times. For each lifetime, for each of our ancestors before us, from the first one, she has sat there. She has been there for all of eternity. You can see that out of the spring comes a turquoise light. It shines on her face and on yours. You can see that she is very ancient. If you look closely, you can see that a part of her is young and beautiful, and a part of her is very old. Look at her hands. As she sits and you look at her hands, it is almost as if she holds a magic wand from which she is weaving a magic web. You can see that she looks deep into the springs, and from the center of the spring, you can see the energy go up into her hands. She weaves a magic web for you. She catches the spring's energy and power and weaves it into the earth. She sees it, and her hands can feel it. When you look at her hands closely, you can see that she is weaving a spiral of light. And if you look very closely at what her hands are weaving, you can see that it is the light from exploding nebula that come from the deepest inner depths. This is the moment and source that is the creation of images. As she takes the dream of art and healing from the spring, she takes it to each one of us and weaves it into our hearts. There is a string inside of each strand of woven web. These strings go from her hand and fly up as one to each one of us, to you, up into the center of your heart. You are in the place where time and space are not limited, And these threads come up like spirals, and you can see them go into infinity, and they go up and down in the past, present, and the future. She holds the interlocking connections together at the side of this eternal spring. She can see us always. She sees us always, and we can see her. She is weaving the web and holding the connections together. We can see that we are connected to many others. We are connected to everyone who is healing himself or herself with art from the beginning of time to the end of time. As we see her, we realize that we too are a part of her dream. It is the ancient dream of art and healing as one. She sings to us in her eternal chant, "Each of you is an artist. You is a healer." Thank you. That's it.
Keep us free.
that's the beautiful voice of Christy Knuckles. Healing is in your hands. All right, now it's time to close our chakras for the people who want to close them. And to do that, we pretend we have doors. Go to the top of your head, to the crown chakra, closing that door. Then down to the third eye, closing that door. Down to the throat chakra, closing that door. Then to the heart chakra, closing that one. To the solar plexus, closing that door. Down to the navel chakra, closing that one. And then down to the base chakra, closing that door. Then to the feet chakra. You can leave that one open just enough to keep you connected to Mother Earth. And you can leave all of them open just enough for your best comfort. Bring the light back up to your crown chakra. And we're going to ask the Archangel Michael to put us into a pyramid of purple light as used by the ancient Egyptians for protection. He's taking you by the hand, putting you into the pyramid, keeping you safe and secure until next time we meet or until next time you meditate. He's sealing it at the top with a blue seal. Thank you, Archangel Michael. Thank you to the angelic realm for joining us. Thank you to the fabulous Nancy Waite. Don't go away yet because she's coming back on in a moment. And thank you to Gary and Marika. And thank you to everyone out there for helping us to co-create this beautiful energy here today. Now, Nancy's going to come back on in a moment and tell us what the link is for tomorrow night's show, tomorrow at 5 o'clock, EST show. Are you there, Nancy?
Yes, I am. Yes, hello, I'm here.
Yes.
I was just getting the link ready to put in the chat room for tomorrow's show. You know, I have so much material. I love this topic. And so part two of The Wounded Healer will be tomorrow on Blog Talk Radio, the Risa Channel, Art and Ascension, 5 p.m. Eastern. So we don't have much time left. I could read a little something from another article on The Wounded Healer. If it's about 3 or 4 minutes, perhaps.
Yeah,
does that sound
fine.
All right?
Yes.
Please
all
do.
Right.
Yes.
Because, okay. Well, I have a story that I wanted to read, but it might take
well,
10 minutes.
Well, I'll be back on, Nancy. Come on another time and do what you haven't done tonight. Because
right.
I know
well,
everybody's
I'll...
enjoyed it. You're so talented.
Okay. This is from an article by Paul Levy called The Wounded Healer. Encoded in our wound is the key to its resolution, which is to say that our wound contains its own medicine. Similarly, hidden in our neurosis is its own cure. When we feel stuck, it is as if our neurosis is keeping us tied and bound, frozen in a particular time or place. And yet, being nailed like this, a veritable crucifixion experience, can potentially help us discover who we are. To quote Jung, I myself have known more than one person who owed his entire usefulness and reason for existence to a neurosis, which prevented all the worst follies in his life and forced him to a mode of living that developed his valuable potentialities. These might have been stifled had not the neurosis, with iron grip, held him to the place where he belonged. The neurosis, with its iron grip, can seemingly immobilize us, which paradoxically can potentially help us one pointedly stay on course, keeping us right where we are supposed to be so as to discover our own presence, as well as helping us to unwrap our uniquely creative gift. Our neuroses, though seemingly ruining our state of childhood innocence, actually raises us, providing us with the necessary rules and parameters for the unique unfoldment, crystallization, and channeling of our open-ended potential. In raising us, our neuroses has the potential to mature us and expand our consciousness. Jung continues, we should not try to get rid of a neurosis, but rather to experience what it means, what it has to teach, what its purpose is. We should even learn to be thankful for it, otherwise we pass it by and miss the opportunity of getting to know ourselves as we really are. A neurosis is truly removed only when it has removed the false attitude of the ego. We do not cure it, it cures us. A man is ill, but the illness is nature's attempt to heal him. From the illness itself, we can learn so much for our recovery. And what the neurotic slings away as absolutely worthless contains the true gold we should never have found elsewhere. Our neuroses and our wound are the rejected and despised part of the psyche, the raw material which we should learn to be thankful for, without which we should be unable to make the alchemical gold of an expanded consciousness. Shall I go on, Jian?
If you like, yes, yeah, for a couple of minutes.
All right.
Do you want the music stopping or do you want the music leaving on?
Well, can you hear me above the
yes.
music?
Yes.
Okay, just keep it on. The mediator of our wounds, curative power, is consciousness and the direction we choose to channel it. Instead of viewing our wound as a real problem that is obscuring our true nature, when consciousness is guided by the feelings of gratitude for the wound's potential offering of self-realization and personal evolution, our wound, which is a reflection of our consciousness, magically reveals itself as a worthy object of veneration. Our wound then manifests as a doorway to our healing, a portal through which we can glimpse our infinite potential. Our neurosis is only truly removed, as Jung points out, when it removes the false attitude of the ego, which imagines the wound and itself as having a concrete, real existence whose cause lies in events that occurred in the remote past. Our neurosis thus can potentially teach us that it and our self-nature is empty of substantial inherent existence and is nothing other than a fluid function of our own creative imagination, our own consciousness. To say our wound is not separate from our own consciousness is to say that how our wound actually manifests is determined by the meaning we place on it, how we view it, the metaphors we use to contextualize it, and the story we tell ourselves about it. This realization points at the importance of the storying part of our psyche. For example, the part of ourselves that is endlessly mythologizing, imagining, and dreaming through the events in our life, as if creating a work of living art, of flesh and blood fiction. Just like in a dream, there is a deeper part of ourselves that is literally the author of our experience. A fundamental aspect of ourselves which invests us with a genuine authority to create change in both ourselves and, by extension, the world around us. Okay, I think I'll stop now.
Wow, that's brilliant. So powerful. And as Nancy
Beautiful.
Said, part two is tomorrow. So please, would you just say your website again, please, Nancy, for the listeners who are not in the chat room.
Yes, it's... The website is www.blogtalkradio.com/Rysa, R-Y-S-A, then just go to Art and Ascension. You'll see my shows on the Rysa channel. And there's one tomorrow, March 1st. I'm on every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern talking about Art and Ascension. And how art relates to the ascension process.
Yeah, it's a fantastic show. Absolutely brilliant. Well, we're going to say goodbye and God bless. And thank you for joining us, Nancy. And Marika and Gary, and you've all been just fantastic tonight. Thank you. And thank you to the lovely listeners out there. And we've got an absolutely brilliant song to finish with. And it's Adam Lambert's Time for Miracles. Have you heard it? Oh, it's gorgeous. I love it. So I'm going to press play now. So thank you. See you next week. We have our angel card reader, Jane Dawson, next week. So don't be late. Bye.
Thank you, everyone. Thank
Bye-bye.
You, Jen. Thank you so
Thank
much,
you,
Nancy.
Gary.
With Hope a lot of fun.
Well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye, Gary. Bye, Marika.
Bye-bye. Bye, Marika.
Bye-bye.
I love you all.
We love you.